I would like to call the meeting to order. This is the December 4th, 2017 meeting of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Board of Education. We are in the Borough Assembly Rooms in Soldotna, Alaska. I'd like to ask you to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mr. Ilk, would you please read the mission statement?
The mission of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is to empower all learners to positively shape their futures.
Roll call. Mrs. Tressel, please.
Mr. Anderson?
Present.
Ms. Carey?
Present.
Mr. Castamore?
Present.
Ms. Hole?
Here.
Mr. Ilg?
Here.
Mr. Kelly?
Present.
Mr. Navarre?
Here.
Mr. Torianen?
Present.
Mr. Mitzel?
Here.
Mrs. Vodla?
Present. You have before you the agenda. Are there any additions or deletions? Seeing none, the agenda is approved. Oh, I'm still new at this. You have before you the minutes from the November 6th meeting. Are there any deletions or corrections? Seeing none, are there any objections to approval? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. There are no awards and presentations, so I'm going to take the liberty of giving two out. And, excuse me, I forgot to tell you. The Association of Alaska School Boards at our conference in Anchorage in November, we have two Carl Rose Boardmanship Awards. Basically, these are basic boardmanship awards, and it's a minimum of 30 points. And the two people who I am about to call their names, they put in all the work to be considered the basic board membership. So I would like to give these awards to Mr. John Kelly for basic. Oh, I'm so sorry. And Mr. Castamore for excellence. I did not read the second one. So he is excellence in board boardsmanship award, and it's worth 70 points. And basically, it's how you contribute different conferences and conventions and so forth that you attend and some professional development. So congratulations to both of you. School reports. We have two school reports this evening, and the first school report is from Paul Banks Elementary. And Mr. Eric Pedersen, would you please come up? Did I say? Oh, we had this conversation.
Good to be here tonight. The only thing better than Monday Night Football is the opportunity to brag about the best school in the district, and that would be Paul Banks in Homer, Alaska. As I tell you about Paul Banks, you will see many pictures on the screen behind me. You'll see the various places where learning occurs on our campus. They do a great job of capturing the learning, exploring, creating, discovery, investigating, and collaboration that happens on a daily basis. To give you a quick overview of Paul Banks, We have an intensive needs preschool, a Title I preschool, 3 kindergarten classes, 3 first grade classes, and 3 second grade classes. I'd like to say thank you for funding the summer you guys came through and saved us from having very large classes, so I really appreciate that. We are a resource. We are an intensive needs resource school as well. Most of our preschool through second graders start their academic career at Paul Banks. They come to us with varying degrees of educational exposure, but when they leave, they're ready for the next stage. We believe that school environment that focuses on the primary years instills confidence in our students. This is something they will take with them throughout their remaining school years. Roughly one-third of this year's kindergarten class came through one of our 2 preschool programs. This is extremely helpful as the students know the ins and outs of school, and they also it sets them up to be classroom leaders. The community of Homer values education, and it is evident with our parental involvement. Many of the pictures you see include these parent volunteers. Our PTA runs an after-school program filling the need created by our change of schedule. 99 of my 220 students participate in at least one of the after-school programs a week. This has been a benefit for many of our working families. The PTA also fundraises and offers activities such as swimming lessons for all the students, the Winter Carnival, Math and Science Night, and the cultivation of our school's greenhouse. These are just a few of the many ways that PTA has added to our instruction at Paul Banks. Our school also deliberately provides opportunities to foster parental networking through Classroom Feast, our art extravaganza, and Bingo for Books. As a dad of a peanut, this allows my wife and I the opportunity to meet our daughter's classmates and their families. And because because Homer is a small town, these relationships will last throughout the kids' K-12 education. The staff at Paul Banks is dedicated to provide the best education possible. We pride ourselves in early intervention and enrichment instruction to meet the needs of all of our students. Collaboration and teamwork are at the root of our success. The majority of our classrooms have implemented the Daily 5 and Daily 3 in their math and reading instruction. Both of these initiatives provide student choice and more ownership of their learning. Alternative seating is also present in many of our classrooms. Through the district's school initiative quality assurance process, we have partnered with the Kenai Peninsula Orchestra to create Paul Banks Preludes, a program in which students build stamina and social skills while learning to play the violin. At the end of my presentation, I have a quick little clip that the students performed at last week's assembly. Last Tuesday, we had our first meeting with Ed Elements. From this meeting, we were preparing our turnkey meeting for the rest of the staff. One of the first things we're going to do is review our vision and mission statement. While both of these are still very relevant, we want to follow the district's lead and condense them into a more memorable statement. And I also have some of my students made a card for you, board members. And in the card, you have the vision and mission statement and also an invitation to our big events that we have at Paul Banks. So I know Mike and Zen, you're going to be there. You better be there. And then I also, I know this is a recycled joke from the first time, but I know there's some new people on the board. The joke goes, we know there are many nuts out there, but there's only one peanut. And so I gave you a little snack tonight and taped a peanut on the front. And Mr. Dusick, my son, made one especially for you with a Packer helmet on it.
Ooh.
And I'll quick show you... I embedded it right here. Can you see that? So this is my second grade, and this is their second year of learning how to play violin, and it's just at an assembly. Tomorrow is our big winter program. Hopefully you guys can get there because it's dynamite. That's it. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Peterson? Mr. Ilg?
Thank you for your presentation. Before I ask my question, I have to declare a conflict of interest because I'm a big fan of Paul Banks, and my daughter is a former Peanut, and Eric and the staff does a fantastic job. I was hoping you could talk a little bit more about the violin program. Is it every single kid in second grade or first grade that plays, or how does that work?
It's a two-year pilot program that we have going on right now, and we're entering our second year. We are in our second year, and we started out with last year's first grade. And then now they're playing as second graders, and we're also introducing our other first grade. And the cost to the school is 60 minutes, two 30-minute sessions. We've integrated the music standards with the music teachers, still covering those for 30 minutes, and then two 30-minute blocks outside of that. The orchestra has fundraised for all the violins and everything that goes with that.
Are there any other questions? I have a quick comment. I love how you opened it up with learning, exploring, investigating, and collaborating, instilling confidence. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
And I just want to thank you for the gifts. I was hoping they'd hurry up and stop talking so that they could get passed around. Yeah.
No. I get his. Oh, look, I'm just going to take the best one. I knew it.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Oh, man, I don't know. Did you get one? Okay. Which one do you want, Christmas tree or you pick? Okay, our next school report is Connections Homeschool, Mr. Richard Bartolowitz.
Mr. Peterson, Mr. Dusick would like to know where his packer peanut is.
I think Tim ate both of them already.
And sorry for the delay there. I have a little trouble with computers sometimes. My name is Rich Bartolowitz. I'm the principal at Connections Homeschool Program. I'd like to thank all the board members and president for inviting us and giving me a chance to say some things about Connections. And also I've got some great people to say some things about Connections as well today. The presentation is not about me, but I do want to give you just a little bit of background on myself. I am a product of KPBSD, and I'm proud of that. I was born in Soldotna and graduated from Manilchik School. I have taught and coached at Manilchik and Kenai Central High School. I'm also the coordinator of the district's distance learning program. And this is my third year as principal at Connections, and it's been a great 3 years, or at least so far. I'm guessing the rest of this year will be great as well. Connections has three locations to serve. The Homer office is located in the portables right in front of Paul Banks. There are neighbors down there. And in Homer, we have one support staff, one elementary advisor, and two middle and high school advisors. We have an office in Seward that's actually located in a classroom in Seward Middle School. Great partnership there as well. We have a half-time support person there who does an amazing job, and we have an itinerant advisor. That advisor is actually one of the Homer advisors who goes over to Seward every other week for 2 days. Our main office is in Soldotna. It's located in the warehouse building right across from Soldotna Elementary School and behind Beeman's. There we have four full-time support staff, an elementary advisor, a middle school advisor, two high school advisors, a special education teacher, and myself. This is a good time to point out that we only serve students on the Kenai Peninsula. We're not a statewide program. We focus on the Kenai Peninsula. Now, I've used the term advisor several times, so I thought it might be a good idea to explain what that is, because I actually get asked that by many people, even that work at the district. Okay, what's an advisor do? Well, an advisor is a certified teacher. All the advisors are certified teachers. And what I'm going to say they do is a gross simplification of what they do. They support families in choosing curriculum materials. Some of those materials might be online, text resources, local tutors and vendors, as we call them, Kenai Peninsula College, local schools, all those things. The advisors help them choose how to teach their classes. They also monitor student progress. They evaluate purchases, act as educational consultants for parents, and they plan and put on events for the students. There's also many behind-the-scenes record-keeping tasks that they need to do, and they make regular contacts with students and families. Real briefly, our enrollments. We are the largest school on the Kenai Peninsula. We have about 770 enrollments. Our number changes a lot over a period of a couple weeks. It could go way up or usually not way down, but we can gain students throughout the year. An interesting thing with our class sizes is that typically our senior class is by far our largest class. Now, this year it's not. The junior class is actually a little bit larger than the senior class, but typically the senior class is the largest class, and that's the opposite of what you will see for most high schools. At that high school level, usually the senior class is slightly smaller than the other classes. Some of the activities and events that we do, a lot of fun things, but I'm just going to talk about a few. One was a first ever chili cook-off we had this year and invited people to come in. And activities like that are just nice social activities, trying to get the kids and parents together in a social setting. And then we have more education-focused things like our tour of AbTech, which was I think we had a dozen students go over with us this year to tour AbTech, Alaska Studies, Alaska Coastal Studies trips, things like that. Very, very great learning experiences. One popular activity is the Alaska Wildlife Conservatory trip. I had the opportunity to go on that the first year, actually the second year also with the program. And I really enjoyed and learned a lot while I was there. And kind of the sad thing, I've lived here for 52 years, and that was the first time I'd stopped. And if you have not stopped by the Alaska Wildlife Conservatory on your way to Anchorage or back, I really recommend you do. One of the things homeschooling allows families to do is take advantage of those local resources that sometimes you just don't have time to on the weekends. So that's one of the things that homeschooling families do is take advantage of those local resources. Eric kind of showed me up, but I have a few pictures here. Our staff gets into our events. There's our fall carnival. Yes, that is a staff member in the gorilla suit. I won't mention names. And another picture from that event. Here's our chili cook-off as we were getting ready to dig in. That was some tasty treats there. People that were there, I think, had a good time. Fish dissection, little science project happening outside the building. Those soda pops got pretty airborne with the Mentos being dropped in them. The kids enjoyed that. I think the teacher did, too. And then we have a weekly open gym that's been a very popular thing. We go over to the Kenai Rec Center, and they actually have the time dedicated for homeschool students. And we go in, a couple advisors go in, and invite all homeschool students, including we have students come in from IDEA and join us on that. So for the rest of the presentation, I'm going to try to answer two questions, because these are questions I have received a lot since I've become principal, and they seem pretty easy. Why do families choose to homeschool, and do homeschooled children receive a good education? Questions that seem very easy, except I've got about 467 different answers. And that's how many families we have in the program right now. And really, every family has a different story. One reason, and this is one that people usually put out to me when they ask that question, is it because they have really strong religious beliefs? And that certainly is a reason that people homeschool, they want to meld their religious beliefs with their children's education. But it's also certainly not the only reason people homeschool. Some of our families travel a lot. Last year, we had a student graduate who had visited 20 countries by the time he graduated from high school and had actually lived in Uganda and worked in the slums in Uganda. Pretty hard to do if you're following a traditional education schedule. Just last week, I talked to a family who gave one of their reasons for homeschooling as being able to go on mission trips through the school year. We have students use homeschooling to get a jump start on college. This year we'll have a student graduate with 64 credit hours. She will have already completed all of the academic requirements to apply for the very competitive nursing programs at UAA and KPC. We have a number of homeschool students families who choose to homeschool because their students are pursuing sports or other performing arts that require them to travel and make time requirements that are a little bit out of the ordinary, including over the years we've had many Brown Bear hockey players that take advantage of our program so they can continue their education. Some students need to work, and homeschooling allows them to have a flexible schedule so that they can have a job and complete their education. In short, homeschooling allows for what I like to call radical personalization. And I'm as happy as you can imagine that the district is on a personalization journey. And my hope is that the end of that journey, a lot of the students in brick and mortar schools will be able to take some of the advantages of personalization that we have now in Connections. So as I said before, we have 467 different reasons. It's just a combination of all those. Now, I also said the question is, do our students get a good education? Well, as is the case in most schools, we're on a spectrum. We have, on the one end of the spectrum, students who are not successful and don't graduate. That's every school has it. Nobody likes it. At the other end of the spectrum, we have students earning four-year scholarships or full scholarships to prestigious universities. So most students live somewhere in between on that continuum. Enough of hearing from me. I have a few people here that I would like you to hear from, and that's a couple students and a pair of parents. The first student I'd like to introduce is Anna DeVold. She's a seventh grader and recently just won the local VFW Patriots pen writing competition. She's going to share that writing with us.
Hi, my name is Anna DeVold, and I have been a Connection student for 7 years. Homeschooling works for my family because it is flexible, personalized, and allows me to spend more time interacting with amazing community members, like our local VFW Post. They selected my essay for their Patriots Pen winner last week, and I would love to share it with you this evening. Our rights and responsibilities. As I walked into the dimly lit room at the National Archives in Washington, D.C., I was struck by the reverent silence. I waited in line to see the three documents that founded and shaped this country, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution. I read the First Amendment of the Constitution. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. This concept practically jumped off the page and into my heart. I thought of how blessed my generation is to have this freedom and what responsibilities this independence requires. The ability to speak freely and to peaceably protest is a wonderful gift. We can speak out for positive change in the government and how this country functions. Throughout our history, there have been many influential peaceable protests, Americans taking advantage of their freedom of speech, such as the Women's Suffrage Parade and the Montgomery Bus Boycott. The suffrage parade paved the way for women to vote, and Rosa Parks' refusal to give up her seat on the bus to the white person in Montgomery, Alabama, helped end public bus segregation a year later. Both of these examples of free speech and peaceful protests brought about major changes to the way we live for the better. This amazing gift also comes with an enormous responsibility for us. As I watch the news, I see many examples of free speech causing controversy. It reminds me that we have a responsibility to respect others' views and their right to protest. Recently, professional football players have been kneeling for the national anthem to protest racial inequality and police brutality. I believe that the Star Spangled Banner and our precious flag are important symbols of our unique nation. They represent the brave men and women who served in the military, made immense sacrifices, and even died to keep this country free. However, even though I believe these things should never be treated with disdain, I must still respect that the football players have a right to protest peacefully. Being able to speak freely and to protest peaceably is a tremendous gift to my generation, now and forever. It has brought about many dramatic changes for the good of our country, and it teaches us to be respectful of other people's rights. This is America's gift to my generation.
Thank you, Anna. That was great. And I'd say a great example of, yep, they get a pretty good education. So that's really appreciate that. Now, from here, does that go to a state level? So that paper will now go to the state level. It is a national scholarship competition for the VFW, and so she'll move up to the next level. Next, it's my pleasure to introduce one of our seniors, Kendra Denny. And many of you will have seen her before as she performs her duties at the central office at the reception desk of district office. So, Kendra.
First off, I want to say thank you, Mr. Bartolowitz, for giving me this opportunity. I appreciate it, and I'm very honored. So the benefits I have obtained are getting to pick my own curriculum and getting to have a flexible schedule, which pretty much got all my points on that presentation there. So through connections, I've been able to test out different curriculum for different professions, such as veterinary science. Through the class, I've been given the opportunity to watch a surgery and learn more about the duties within it. It was great exposure to the profession and was a real eye-opener to what they actually get to do. So also being homeschooled, my flexible schedule has given me the opportunity to work as a student aide in the school district and be a volunteer at the Central Peninsula Hospital. Being homeschooled has really opened doors to these activities. Through the doors, I've gained experience, confidence, and much more. Connections has been a great experience and a variety of opportunities. Thank you again.
Thanks, Kendra. If you are looking for college and career ready, I think we've got that. Next, I'd like to introduce two of our parents, Deanne and Stan Stephenson. They've probably got a better, well, they do have a better historical knowledge of the program than I do, because they were with Connections when it started, and they have a student in the fourth grade now. So they have students that have graduated and moved on, and in the fourth grade, still in the program, and I'd like to welcome them.
Good evening. In the year 2000, Connections was in its second year of existence, and our daughter was ready to start kindergarten. I had resigned from my position as a speech therapist a few years prior to that, and my husband was a Kenai Middle School coach and teacher. The opportunity came with Connections. We were like, you know, wow, we could still remain connected with the school, because we definitely wanted that, and we loved Kenai's school district and the kids and the teachers that we worked with, and individualize their education and give them that strong, firm foundation in the early years. And we continue to do that. And the goal of why, or the second part of the why question for our family was, what does this kid get excited about? What's that spark in their heart that God put in them? And how can we as a parents, fan that into a flame? Our daughter's particular spark was history. And so we looked at the community like they were talking about resources. Our classroom is actually the world and everything in it. So how can we utilize that and fan this excitement in our daughter? She read all the American Girl series books when she was little. She didn't like dolls, but by golly, when it had a historical component, she was all in. We signed her up for a Constitution class online that went in-depth, because then she was into government as well. Cobblestone Magazine, we subscribed to that for her to feed this interest. The one thing that really stood out was in eighth or ninth grade, they had youth court. And for those people that aren't familiar, it's basically learning how to be an attorney or a judge and trying your peers and set them on the right path again. Wonderful program overseen by lawyers and judges in the community. Let's try this out. I think you might like this. She come back from her first day as an attorney. She says, "I was made for this, Mom." So we knew we had that spark in her, and we were in the right direction with that one. Our next oldest was Ellery, and at a young age, she thought he was going to be a pastor. And I was like, "Great. We'll just kind of see how this goes. They're kind of young. I don't want to pressure them like, oh, you're going to be this. You're going to be, you know," and pretty soon it's not their decision or idea anymore. Middle school, he decided, you know, oh, I'm not really sure about this, Mom. And I said, "That's fine. You know, we're going to do other activities, other classes, that kind of thing. You don't have to decide. That's not any hurry." We had an online class where you wrote essays, sent them off to the teacher, got feedback, because it's, after a while, it's kind of good, I think, to get other people to involved in the education process, not just Mom kind of thing, but, you know, let them work with my son. And he says, "You know, it's really hard writing these essays, Mom," he says, "without turning them into sermons." And I says, "Well, do you think all kids have that problem? Or maybe you might rethink your thoughts here and what you want to do." And now, since then, he is all in for being a pastor and pre-sem. Our third oldest just graduated last year. Not really sure what he wants to major in, but definitely likes health, the anatomy of the body and muscles and how they work specifically with his athletics, particularly baseball, now that he's down in Arizona. And so we'll see how that one turns out. And our fourth grader has been asking a lot of history questions lately, so we'll see what comes up with that one as well. Stan will talk now about where the rest or the three are at now, and hopes to illustrate that this is a good education, and it was a great thing for us.
What a great school district. John Dahlgren and the gang and the school board at that time allowed Connections to be part of this community and give people choices in life. And me as a public educator and coach, you know, it's like, is this okay? But you know what? Choices are good, you know, for Americans, you know. Anyhow, as we look at whether it's working or not, do the kids pass the standardized tests in the homeschool program? And, of course, if I go down the list of my children, you know, Hope is a National Honor Society student, full ride into college, get done with college at UTD in Dallas, and got a full ride to law school at Notre Dame. So can homeschool kids in our great community succeed in different ways? I think thumbs up. Allow her to be in athletics. Again, she got to be the second girl to ever win a state title against boys and girls. You know, what a great opportunity for our environment that we have here for our school district, and have connection to be one of the other schools, so to speak. Wonderful things. And again, Ellery's my oldest boy. He's at Concordia University in Austin, Texas, and as a pre-seminary student, you know, just like his sister, 4.0, helps run this college there. He's an RA, and, you know, language is something he enjoyed, and, of course, through the program connections, you know, Spanish, et cetera, they have lots of opportunities, and, of course, he's a group Greek student of the year, et cetera. And so, and the last boy that's left the house right now with Paul, you know, loves sports. You know, again, great, great sports program in our community, of course, to go alongside with different schools. And, you know, and he was our, you know, third state champion and third national champion in our family. And so what a great opportunity to enjoy our whole community. You know, he loves playing baseball. And, of course, Arizona was the place he wanted to be. Definitely good place to hit home runs, he says. So, anyhow, and of course, we have a nice fourth grade kid that seems to be a lot of fun to be around, and we're excited about what connections can do for our kids in our community. And of course, with Daniel being the tail end, we sure appreciate what you guys are doing as a school board and the community.
That concludes my presentation this evening. If you have any questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
Or actually a comment. Anna, your essay was amazing. Good luck when you go to state. And I worked with kids for years in the junior high and the high school level. That was profound. Thank you very much. And Kendra, thank you for your volunteer work here and at the hospital, and it has been an absolute pleasure to get to know you. So you are just delightful to see. And the Stephensons, thank you for the information about your students, and in addition to what you've said, Richie, thank you for the hard work in pulling everybody together. It's appreciated.
And that's an indication that Ms. Vodla has known me for a long time. Richie is kind of an old Nanilchik name. Ms. Vodla was my English teacher. So
he's one of my kids. Thank you. We can take an at ease if anybody would like to leave with young kids or. Yeah. 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't even need 5 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go ahead and reconvene this meeting. We're down to public presentations, comments, items not on the agenda. This is an opportunity for anybody in the public who would like to comment on any item that is not on the agenda. Each person will have 3 minutes for an aggregate of 30 minutes. Please step to the microphone and clearly state your name. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to hearing of delegations, and there are none. So we'll move on to item 6, communications and petitions. Mr. Dusick, please.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board. In your information packet, there's a couple of items just to draw your attention to. There's a timeline for approval of our key performance indicators. So Mr. O'Brien put that together for you. And then also Mr. Glusak put together some information on all the grant application efforts and partnerships that we have going on in the district. It's not all-encompassing, but it's very comprehensive. Appreciate the work both of them did on that, those information items. State communications, we are under audit this year for our federal programs. This happens about once every 5 years, I believe, from the state. So we will see some auditors from the State Department of Ed auditing federal programs. And then this week, December 4th through 8th, is the State of Alaska Hour of Code Week. Department of Ed is promoting efforts in our schools to implement activities about coding. So I know a number of our schools participate in this every year and will continue to do so. Also, just a reminder about tomorrow, the board quarterly work session that's going to be at Soldotna Prep in the professional development room starting at 9 a.m. for the information committee, and then 9:45 we will talk about the FY19 budget and the assembly work session coming up later that afternoon, which, by the way, is right back here in the borough assembly room at 2 p.m. We'll be working with the assembly beginning the whole budget process. Lots of other things that are happening. December 6th is the Title VI advisory meeting. Also, I'll be getting some input from Ketchmack CELO on the administrator turnover that's happening there between KCLO and RAS. That'll happen on for KCLO community on December 6th. RAS DOLNA will be December 14th. Friday night, Kenai Central's fifth annual Students in Transition fundraiser will be happening over at Kenai Central cafeteria starting at 6. English Language Arts Curriculum Review Committee is meeting on December 12th and 13th, so those of you that are part of that, if you get that on your calendar. And then, incredibly, the first semester ends December 22nd, which is amazing. And then January 8th is when we start right on up for second semester. That's what I have for you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Seeing none, representatives selected by the following advisory committee: site councils and or authorized student support organizations, KPAA, KPEA, KPESA, and or the Borough Assembly. If there's anyone from any one of those groups, will you please come forward? You have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm David Brighton, president of KPEA, and don't have a whole lot to say tonight. Saw on the resignations that have started coming in: Debbie Harris, Gloria Larson Sweeney, Mary Ellen Purcell, and Kathy Zorbas. And I'm just sad to see some of them leave. Kathy Zorbas has worked for us since 1997. I was looking at the seniority list. Sad to see Debbie Harris go. She's a good friend of mine, and she's done a lot for art education in our school districts. That's big shoes that that we'll have to find someone to fill. I'm excited about an opportunity we have in the school districts. I've been working with Sean and NEA Alaska, the state association. They do a commercial every year, and they're featuring some teachers and paraprofessionals on the Kenai Peninsula this year. Last Saturday, they were down working with the outdoor education program, who's butchering a moose. And I believe they'll be in Redoubt Elementary School doing some filming on the 12th of this month, which is a pretty cool opportunity. The focus of the commercial is just teachers providing up-to-date and relevant education for our students. Positive piece, but happy to have it be on the Kenai Peninsula and showcase some of our excellent educators. Thank you for your services, school board members, and have a good evening.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you.
sorry. Can you hear me now? Okay. I'm Rachel. What's that? Down? Is that better? Okay. I don't want to be yelling, but okay. I'm Rachel Sinclair with KPESA. I wanted to say thank you to Kendra, but she took off. But she's so awesome here at district office. She's always so helpful and stuff on the phone, and when I come in, very helpful. One of the concerns that we have is with student nutrition, concerned about the kids not having school meals served to them from student nutrition on the last day of school. Any meals, not breakfast or lunch. And as you guys know, some of the meals that these guys get are at school. That's the only meals they get. Our staff as well, student nutrition staff, were cut to where they're not there the last day of school or the day before that. So there won't be anybody there to help the kids, that's nutrition side of things. I just wanted to, hopefully we can come to some kind of agreement to sort it out and figure out what we could do for them, because it's not acceptable in our eyes. So, but that's all. And thank you guys all for everything and all you do, and happy holidays coming up. I can't believe it's already Christmas time. It's crazy. So have a good evening. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Mike, Mr. Ill?
So when you say that, going your statement about not serving lunches on the very last day of school in May?
Correct, yes.
For all the schools?
All the schools.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Any others?
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Seeing nobody else, we'll move on to the next superintendent's report, Mr. Dusick.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board. Just wanted to update you. You probably saw in the news recently there was four young men from the Homer High School hockey team who very proud of their actions up in Anchorage. What they did is intervened on a very difficult situation, helped out older gentlemen up in Anchorage, and acted as good Samaritans and demonstrated a great deal of kindness. Really wanted to thank Charlie, Doug, Tucker, and Finney on that. That was fantastic. I'm an old hockey player, and sometimes hockey players have a little bit of a different reputation. But these guys came through and represented us really, really well. Also want to congratulate all of the participants from our school district at the All-State Music Concert. We had 15 band members, including our own Calvin Mitzel here on the trumpet. Congratulations. We had 4 in the orchestra, 15 in the treble choir, and 16 in the mixed choir. So another great representation by our district up at the All-State Music Concert. Wanted to thank Mr. Jones, Ms. Hayes, and the Finance Department for all of their hard work on the budget and receiving another excellent audit from the independent auditor. Thank you very much for your hard work. Also wanted to thank the legislators who were able to meet with us today, talk with us about the future, focus on the budget, and just giving us some helpful hints on working with them this year. Also, wanted to let you know that over this past month I've been a part of several meetings, not only the AASB conference, but also the ASAA reclassification committee meeting. Very interesting process there. We're a part of a larger region that includes Matsu Valley schools in it as well, and there is disagreement on the options that are out there between us and the Valley, and we're working through that. But I don't anticipate the ASAA board making any decisions right now on some of the sports, but they will need to make some decisions in January. We'll continue to give our input. I'm certain coaches across the board will also give input. As you know, I was talked into doing a Facebook Live event, and it did turn out really well. Thanks, Peggy. Even though it was very interesting how we started. Thanks, Peggy. Leaning in there to make sure, the screen was, I'd already pressed the button. She didn't know it was my fault. So, that's just how it goes. But it turned out really well. I think we've got a little information out there, and I plan on conducting another one in January. mid-January as kind of an update follow-up, and then we'll do like a budget 101 and some of our instructional things that we're doing. I appreciate your support and my time to be able to spend some time with my family down in Wisconsin. That was great to see the kids and my extended family down there. Handbook committee has met again, and I know we'll be meeting again probably soon after Christmas, making lots of great progress. If you're in Homer on December 7th at 9 a.m., I will get you a cup of black coffee, not a latte or macchiato or any of this other stuff, just a regular old cup of Joe. And really the purpose of that is an opportunity to meet with community members and talk about perceptions and anything that they'd like to talk about. And I'll do that in the Central Penn and then also in Seward coming up after Christmas. Don't forget there's tons of school activities and concerts going on. Mentioned already the student in transition dinner. There's a luau going on at Sohi Saturday night for basketball, and I don't think I'll have to get up and perform, but they said that I might. I know there's things going on, a Mexican dinner down in Homer for basketball down there this week. So take a look at the website. If you have any questions, I can get you some more information on all these events. Next week I'll be working with lots of school administrators along with Mr. O'Brien on their mid-year updates and school goals as part of the evaluation process. On the 18th, I'll be in the Seward area, nosing around over there. Ms. Hole will not be there, so if anybody wants to go with me, you're welcome to. And then district office, over break, we do have a couple days that we will be closed, December 25th and 26th, and then also January 1st. And that's what I have for you. Thanks.
Are there any questions? Thank you, Superintendent Dusick. The next item up is reports, finance report. Mr. Jones, please.
Yes, you have before you the report for October through October. October is 33 or 34% the way through the year, depending on how you do math. If you look at our revenues, our major revenue sources of the state and the borough are both right on where we're at, supposed to be. One good thing is if you look at earnings investments, we're at 49% of what our prediction was for the year. Last year, these came in a little under. It's always interesting the way the new GASB has you account for interest, but that's a good sign at this point in time of the year. So on the revenue side, we're looking good. On the expenditure side, we are under the 34% you would expect to be at this time of the year because July and August are not big expenditure years for us. So we're where we're supposed to be as of October for revenues and expenditures.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Seeing none, would you give us the five-year enrollment projection report, Mr. Jones?
I would. What you have for you and before you is each year we bring to you the five-year enrollment projection. And what we do, the reason that we do this is mostly for the first year because we have to have an enrollment projection into the state by November 5th so they can start projecting what our projected costs would be for the following year. And then we go ahead and do, well, first of all, I'll talk about how we do the first year of the enrollment is we basically have come around to doing a rollover projection. What we do is kick the seniors out, and then we bring the kindergartners in. And if you're a larger school, we look at the last 3 years average that we've had for you and assign a number. If you're a smaller school, you know, the principals probably know how many little noses are walking around town. So we do that. We allow principals to have input on what they project, either larger numbers or smaller numbers. And then we sit down and map that out for each school. You know, what we do is move elementary, students onto the middle schools and middle schools onto the high schools. And so anyway, we came up with the first year projection, and then we basically do the same thing for the next 5 years. And we do that to try and give a trend or an idea of what's happening out there. I think each year I try and talk to you about how much faith we have in years 3, 4, and 5. You know, the formulas and all those things are good indicators, but they don't take into account the economies of the state or openings and closings of business and those things. So pretty confident on year one for you. Year two gets a little shakier, and I wouldn't make any wagers on years 3, 4, and 5, but they can be used as indicators. I think the important thing for you, and we've talked about it before, is we basically, a year ago when we were projecting numbers, we're projecting about 3 students different than what we projected a year ago. And it's important to understand that even though we had 64 drop enrollment this year, when we look at the size of the class that's going out and the size of the classes that have been coming in, it's a significantly larger class coming in than going out. This is the smallest class we've had moving through our enrollment process for quite a while. So anyway, we're thinking that we're going to be pretty close to what we projected last year. And internally in that, we continue to have increases of intensive needs students. So.
Thank
Questions?
You. Questions? Yep. Seeing none, we'll move on to board reports. These are reports that the boards are members where they have been officially representing the school district. Lynn?
I attended the Facebook Live event through the web link. It worked, since I'm not a Facebook member, and thought it was a very successful event. Thanks, Peggy and Sean. I attended the AASB conference in Anchorage, participating in the Resolutions Committee on Thursday, and our group that was up there was able to, when we met with the big districts, to make sure that all of our state and federal priorities were on their recommendation of the State Board of AASB as priorities. And then I had a few takeaways. I mean, I had quite a bunch of takeaways, but I just wanted to talk about 3 of them really quickly. There was a district that's heavily investing in tracking classified staff, helping them transition through education to certified teachers. I thought that was neat. It was a rural district because they're having trouble recruiting certified teachers, so they're using this as a way to invest in their current staff that is already there. And I thought it was interesting that the University of Alaska Southeast graduates more Alaska Native certified teachers than any other of our state universities, and their goal is to have similar ratios of Alaska Native teachers as found in our Alaska student populations. So hopefully we'll be seeing more Alaska Native candidates for positions in the future. And the legal session reminded districts of the mandatory possible child abuse or neglect reporting requirements for volunteers who spend 4 hours, and I don't remember if it was 4 hours a week. Yeah, 4 hours a week or more in our schools, and that has actually possible criminal charges if a volunteer doesn't report. So that's it for now. Thanks.
Is there anybody else? Mr. Castamore?
I also attended the AASB session in Anchorage and attended many of the same things that Lynn did, so I will not repeat her comments. Thank you.
Mr. Turiana?
I also attended the same conference and attended many of the same things, but at the same time I was able to attend the state volleyball tournament, both as a parent and a school board member, and which my girls were part of at Nikiski High School. And the girls, while they faced the number one and the number two team in the state finishers and did not win the games they wanted to win in the tournament, they did win the academic championship award with a GPA of 3.79, which was the highest in the state of all classifications of schools. So very proud of them for that.
Thank you. Mrs. Carey?
I also attended the AASB meeting up in Anchorage for the first time. It was very interesting, very fast-paced. I also went to the Native Ed KPNLYL meeting down here on the 17th. A lot of information given out there also.
Anybody else? Mr. Mitzel?
I was also a part of the AASB meeting up in Anchorage, and it was a great learning experience for the youth, I felt. We shared a lot of great stories, learned a lot of great skills, such as how to run a meeting effectively, how to communicate with others, and like what mindset to go into that communication with. And I also attended the Alaska All-State Band and the band performance a couple weeks ago, and it was a great experience. It showed the devotion that students have from around the state to music and just what that devotion can give us as a community. And it was a great time.
Thank you. I also attended the AASB conference. I spent the day along with Lynn in the resolutions committee meetings, and I attended a board president yearly calendar and agenda item meeting, which was really interesting, and looked at the Alaska next steps and the governor's Alaska challenge. Keynote speaker Zaretta Hammond talked about culturally responsive teaching, and that was really interesting. And I went to the large district forums. I was elected to the AASB board of directors for another term this year. This time it'll be a 3-year term. And so we took all the priorities from all the large, the middle school, and the small rural areas, and we sort of categorized them so that they could come forth with a set of resolutions that AASB would sponsor. I attended the Project Grad presentation at Kenai Central High School, a small act documentary about Hilda Back. And my computer just stopped. Presentation that was presented by Chris Maburu and a student Kamani, and the presentation was a small act, and it was really an amazing evening. I also attended the Native Leaders Gathering that took place over at KPC. Conrad Woodhead, thank you if you're still here. I'm not sure if he is, but it was an amazing, very fast-paced day, but it was full of, I thought, really good outcomes, so thank you. So we are now on to committee reports. Mr. Castamore, board policy report, please.
Today, board policy committee met. We discussed some upcoming issues related to art in our buildings, and we'll be coming back in the future with some recommendations for some policies there. We also spent significant time once again on AR 1330, the room use policy.
Are there any questions? Thank you.
This isn't a question, but I want to report on the KIPSTAR committee.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
If that's possible.
Yep, go ahead.
We met on November 9th. The KIPSTAR committee is the Kenai Peninsula School Activity Association, and I have a few things I want to share what happened there. We approved a waiver to allow a non-approved school district young student to participate in a junior high competitive program, and that this committee is going to work on creating a formal policy on how that would work, because we have some concerns about a student, potentially an outside KPBS student, replacing an existing KPBS student in a program where there might be cuts for a competitive program. So we're going to work on that in the future. There was discussion about increase in fees for soccer, and that was approved from $100 to $150. Let's see. There was some discussion about having a school board alternate. I think that was a topic that came up last year when a previous board member had trouble making the KIPSA meetings, and that's something maybe we have to look at in our policies. There could be some things from this, some recommendations from this committee about reviewing the stipends and the number of students per coaches. just so that some of these programs that have an enormous amount of kids have adequate representation for coaching. There was discussion about rotating the track meets throughout the borough. Discussions about allowing for more intramural games within the peninsula. And lastly, there was been some behavioral issues. They're seeing some increased behavioral issues with boys' soccer games, and we may require administrators at all those games, which I think we kind of already try to do already. But it was my first meeting. It was 4 hours long and great people on that committee, and a lot of work to do to ensure that our athletic association programs are on the up and up. So,
thank you. Mr. Navarre, information?
Information committee will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Mr. Kelly, finance?
Finance committee met today and reviewed the equipment and other expenses object categories of the budget.
Thank you. And the governance handbook met on November 30th, and we added more information and verbiage to the book, and we'll be meeting again. Well, that'll be established. We'll probably do that tomorrow. So it was a good meeting. We got a lot accomplished. So.
Charter schools, Penny?
Oh, it's not on here. Okay. Sorry. Charter schools?
We met this afternoon, and we had two items before us. The fireweed programs wants to put their PTR, change their PTR in their original contract and make it more aligned with their practice. And we recommended moving that forward to the board, so hopefully it'll come in January. Aurora Borealis wants to expand to high school, and that's going to take a lot more discussion. So you'll be hearing more about that in the future.
Thank you. So on to the board work session report. Earlier today, the board held the following work sessions: board policy, Native Education update, the class size report, the fiscal 18 budget revision, the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and a discussion with the Kenai Peninsula legislators was held at 4 o'clock. So it was a really busy day where we accomplished quite a bit of information, and all board members here were in attendance. So on to the consent agenda, and basically the consent agenda items are, what's easier to figure, 10B, AR 350, 3550, student nutrition, service charge policy, 10C, 2017-18, new teacher contracts, 10D, resignations, 10E, 2017-18, long-term substitute teacher contracts. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment on any of the consent agenda items? Seeing none, call for a motion. Dan?
I move for approval of the consent agenda, items 10B through E.
Second.
Thank you. That was Dan, and Mr. Turian seconded.
Request unanimous consent.
Second.
Okay. Question?
I just wanted to comment.
Okay.
And I know I'm probably not supposed to, but I have to mention that Deborah Harris has been a wonderful asset for the arts, mm-hmm. and she'll be greatly missed.
Are there any other comments? Mr. Castamore?
I just want to point out that AR 3550, once again, this is a change to our student nutrition policy. It's relating to a requirement from the USDA that we have a policy related to students who fall into arrears on their account. This policy will address that. We've also taken this as an opportunity to reaffirm our commitment that none of our students will go hungry based on a lack of funds in their lunch program. So I'm happy to see this go through.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I'd also like to mention that with the resignations of our several of our four women teachers this time really sort of hit home how many years the women have been involved in education in Kenai Peninsula Borough. I know Debbie Harris very well and Gloria Sweeney, and Debbie really made sure that art remained in our schools and really took painstaking effort to provide a quality art experience for students. And Gloria Sweeney is just a great elementary teacher, and I don't know the other teachers as well, so I just, but I wanted to mention the ones that I knew. So we don't need a vote. Do we need an advisory vote from Mr. Mitzel in that? No. Okay, so Mr. Mitzel, an advisory vote on the consent agenda?
Yes.
So we're fine. So the motion carried. We're on to action items 11. Are there any members in the action items of board policy 0100 philosophy and BB 9130 board committees? Are there any members of the public who wish to comment on either of these items? If there's nobody, can I have a call for a motion? Mr. Castamore?
I move to adopt item 11A, board policy 0100 philosophy, and board bylaw 9130 board committees.
Second.
Mr. Anderson, thank you. Is there any discussion? Mr. Castamore?
Just as a reminder, BP 0100 is our philosophy statement. We determined as a result of going through the strategic plan that in the past the strategic plan was basically copied and pasted in here every year. So we are updating this to match. And rather than including the entire comprehensive strategic plan in the policy, now we're simply directing people to go see the strategic plan so that the next time we update it, we won't have to update policy again. The other item, board committees, is simply, really it's just some language change to bring our policy in line with our practice. Currently, it says that board membership is limited to 3 members. However, we have several committees that have 4 on them already. So it's just a simple cleanup. So thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Tressler, will you please open the voting?
Voting's open.
May I have an advisory vote for Mr. Mitzel? Thank you.
Everyone's voted, and I just need Mr. Mitzel's
vote. Yeah.
Does anybody wish to change their vote? Nine yeas and 0 nays, it passes. So the next action item is fiscal year 18 budget revision 2017-12-4. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on this item? Seeing none, can I have a call for a motion? Mr. Kelly?
I move approval of item 11B, fiscal year 18 budget revision 2017-12-4.
Second.
Thank you.
Second.
Are there any members of the board who would like to comment? Seeing none, are there any objections to approval? Seeing none.
I would request unanimous consent.
Thank you. Any objection? Seeing none. And can I have an advisory vote for Mr. Mitzel as well?
I'd like to vote yay.
Anybody wish to change his or her vote? Seeing none, it passes. The last one is action item is fiscal year the CAFR Comprehensive Annual Financial Report 2017-12-4. Are there any members of the public who would like to address or comment on this item? Seeing none, can I have a call for a motion? Mr. Navarre?
Thank you. I'd move for item 11C, the FY17 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report 2017-12-4, and I'd request unanimous consent.
Second. Thank you, Lynn. Is there any objection to unanimous consent? Seeing none, it passes. May we have a advisory vote for Mr. Mitchell?
I'd like to vote yea.
We're down to first reading of policy. There are no first readings. Is there anybody we're down to 13 public presentation. This is an opportunity for anybody member of the public that would like to comment on any item that's not on the agenda. This is a second opportunity. Seeing no one, we'll move on to board comments. Mr. Kelly, I'll start with you.
We changed the order up here, didn't we?
I know. Just figured we've got to do a little different, you know?
Well, good. I wanted to go first. I wanted to just congratulate Melon Purcell. She is in this packet as a retiring teacher. She does a wonderful job out of McNeil Canyon. And then I wanted to say that I think the Facebook Live event was an incredible success. I love seeing Sean in the hot seat there as he gets peppered with questions from the public. I definitely want to see those continue. And otherwise, look forward to tomorrow's work session.
Mr. Castamore?
I just want to remind all of the other board members of our commitment this year to visit as many schools as possible. So those of you that have been out to schools, please make sure you let Ms. Tressler know. I made 3 appointments and have canceled all of them because my wife unexpectedly broke her toe and had surgery. So I apologize to those schools, which I was not able to visit yet, but I will be rescheduling. The other thing I just wanted to make a comment, members of the public, our administration, everyone, is it seems that we seem to be having a lack of awards given out this year. I looked through the list of Golden Apple recipients. It seems like over the last 4 or 5 years that number has declined. It seems strange to me that we can't find 12 people a year to provide awards to. So I just want to encourage those of you. We all know people who contribute a tremendous amount to our schools. And I think it's easy to forget that, you know, we need to provide some thank you. So encourage everyone to get out and nominate someone. There's a form on the website for Golden Apples, and there's some criteria. But it'd be good to get more people some recognition. Thank you.
Mr. Ilg?
Yeah, I'd like to begin by thanking Representative Chenault, Representative Paul Seaton, and Senator Peter Michicki for attending today at a work session. It was encouraging to hear that they are expressing support for education and not anticipating cuts to the BSA. I want to wish all of the Kenai Peninsula School wrestlers this upcoming week. Regents coming up this weekend, and state is the weekend after. I also want to report that I attended a series of hockey games down in Homer. My nephew Lilo is on the Mariner team, and it's the first time they've ever beaten Wasilla. And they beat Colony High School in overtime, and then the next day they beat Palmer. And small town, big hockey. Amazing things going on with that group. And lastly, as we head into the holiday season, we often think about those less fortunate. I want to remind everyone here, when you consider helping other organizations and whatnot, please consider the student in transition program right here in our district. There are our students that are in constant need. Sometimes we forget about it and don't hear about it, but there is always a need, and we have a couple of employees in that program that will help you find ways to ensure whatever you're donating, it'll go to a good cause. And those are my comments.
Thank you. Ms. Carey?
Thank you. I did want to say that I visited Testamina School this morning, and Principal Heyman gave me the tour. Amazing school. It was a lot of fun. I'm not really sure if Nanilchik counts because I visit that on a regular basis because I have kids going there. Other than that, have a great holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Navarre?
yes, I too want to take the opportunity to thank Debbie Harris for her work in our district with arts. She's been invaluable. And with that, I guess I hear Santa Claus, because I do know him sometimes, that he'll be at North Star later on this month. And I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I'll see you in January.
Thank you. Mr. Turianen?
Yeah, I too want to just say it's sad to see Debbie go. I've known her since we were kids, and she helped teach my kids art through the years, and she's been great. Also, want to recognize Mr. Bjorkman in the back of the room, who took my daughter out on a moose hunt in the great windstorm of this year, which they did not get a moose, but persistence paid off, and they got one later on. So that was for their explorations class. It's a really cool opportunity for kids. And so really thankful for the things our teachers do above and beyond outside the classroom, given extra time, and they really need to be recognized for those kind of things. So thanks a lot, Jesse, for that opportunity for my kid and the other kids that were part of that. And, I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody and Happy New Year, and I guess we'll see you tomorrow, but officially.
Thank you. Ms. Hull?
While I was in Anchorage for the AASB conference, I was also able to attend part of the Coalition for Equity in Education annual meeting. The coalition was formerly known as CEAC, Citizens for the Educational Advancement of Alaska's Children. That was the group that was behind the Casile and Moore lawsuits. Next week, I'm going to be attending one of the 2 days of the Alaska Department of Labor 2017 Registered Apprenticeship Roundtables. That's a mouthful. December 14th in Anchorage. I enjoyed the Paul Banks and Connections reports and wanted to thank Mr. Peterson for the tour I took with him and Mike and Homer when we were there last fall. And our oldest son was in the old district homeschool program, while our youngest enrolled in the brand new, at the time, immensely improved Connections program. I loved Anna's essay. I loved that a Connections student is helping out at the district office. And it was great to hear the testimony of the Connections parents. The options we offer our kids and the education we provide here is wonderful. I attended the Seward PTA meeting at William H. Seward Elementary School. I am a member.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson?
I just want to thank our presenters this evening from the two schools. It was an excellent presentation, and just wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Mr. Mitchell?
I'd like to say a special thanks to Mr. Peterson for encouraging the performance of string instruments at such a young age. I really enjoy seeing the arts being promoted in schools because I'm an avid fan of them myself, and seeing violin especially, that's one of my favorite instruments, being promoted at such a young age, it's really encouraging to see what will happen from it. And that is all.
Thank you. And I would like to thank the legislators. They've already been thanked, Mr. Peterson and Mr. Bartolowicz, for their school reports and the students that they brought up. And I'd like to encourage everybody to visit our schools and take in the attendance of those wonderful concerts that will be out there.
and have a happy and safe holiday. And I would like to remind board members to please save January 16th and February 6th for possible meetings, special meetings, and we'll have more information and an update on that soon. So, and we'll see you tomorrow at 9 o'clock over at Soul Prep for our meeting tomorrow. That's the information meeting at 9, followed by a 9:45 meeting. So if there are no other questions, we will adjourn this, and please have a safe and healthy and a happy holiday. Thank you for coming.